a very busy Tuesday edition of the program. It's the 12th of January, 2021. And on this day after the start of a very unusual legislative session, or at least an unusual start to the 2021 legislative sessions in Olympia, we get State Senator Brad Hawkins from the 12th District here in Washington to talk to us today. He's going to talk with us, by the way, throughout the legislative sessions once again this season. I'll be doing that at 7:30, right around that time every Tuesday on the program. Today, going to be talking to us about what the start of the sessions has been like for this year, how different it has been, obviously. Also about school employee vaccinations and perhaps at least one of the items that he has introduced so far this year in the Senate. And Brad, I appreciate your time. How are you? Where are you?
Good morning, Chris. I'm doing well. I'm home here in East Wenatchee. It's definitely been an unusual start to the session. I was sworn in yesterday by Judge Kristen Ferreira, and Judge Leslie Allen were also on the call, and I had my family here. But I took my oath of office yesterday, and then I monitored activities remotely and been participating in Zoom calls. My first Zoom staff call with my office staff, trying to figure out how we can make sure we respond to all the constituents promptly and how we're going to schedule all of our various meetings, and I could participate in all the voting now that the Senate has adjusted its rules so we can vote online. So it's going to be an interesting process. And then after working really hard almost all day and into the night, I was able to tuck my kids in bed last night and give them a kiss, and then that was really special. I'd never really been able to do that for a while since on the first day of session, not since my kids, we all lived together in Olympia. And then this morning, I woke up and had to shovel my driveway, so I've never had to do that during session.
No, I remember last year, I think it was, there was some snow that was flying around the Capitol at one point, but it's thankfully not your responsibility to have to go shovel that out. But your own walk in East Wenatchee, yeah, absolutely. You know, Brad, just on the note of Judge Ferreira swearing you in, I'm sure that's something that judges do a lot of in different capacities, but is that typically done by a local jurisdiction, or is that usually done by someone over at the Capitol? That also kind of had to be kind of unprecedented, right?
Yes. We had an option this year, and I thought, well, heck yeah, I'm going to take that option. Normally I've only been sworn in to the Senate once before, and that was, you know, 4 years ago at the start of my first term. And then for this opportunity to have my family kind of around me and stuff, and Judge Ferreira is great, and Judge Allen at Chelan County Superior Court, I just really admired them, and I was honored that they could swear me in. And when I got the opportunity to have that choice and I could get that cleared by our Senate counsel, I jumped at the opportunity. It was special.
Yeah, it sounds like there's actually been a couple of silver linings in this for you, as there have been for so many people individually, Brad, and also our kind of collective society, too. We are that way. You know, if I was mentioning this yesterday, I think in a different capacity with Mayor Crawford from East Wenatchee, actually, that although some of us tend to be cynical about things, me in particular, at times, I think we also have a tendency as humans to try and find the silver linings and the good in people and the good in situations that have been very austere and difficult for us. So sounds like a few have come out of that already from the legislative sessions. Let's talk about all the madness that has been surrounding our nation and here in the state over the last week or so, too, Brad. Our first chance to really talk with you about the insurrection last Wednesday at our nation's capital, also at the Capitol campus in Olympia. And, you know, I guess what that also not only means to you personally as a citizen of the United States, but also as a representative of the state of Washington and, you know, doing business going forward. Any thoughts in both compartments for us?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's what we saw both in Olympia and then also at the nation's capital is totally unacceptable. You know, our country prides itself in peaceful protests, and that is actually a welcome process, and it's protected by our U.S. Constitution. But any protest that turn violent is not okay and not acceptable. And I've actually, after what happened both in Olympia and at the U.S. Capitol, it caused me just to reflect on pretty much the whole year. I mean, when we had basically things turning south in downtown Seattle, in Portland, and some of the cities all across America where certain zones in the cities were actually occupied, and police, you know, did not have control of those areas. I mean, it's just, it's been a really difficult time, and I certainly hope 2021, for many reasons, as we pull out of the pandemic and otherwise, you know, we'll be able to move forward. But you know, it's tough. I definitely want people to be able to protest, but we need to do it peacefully. And when things turn violent, you know, we essentially lose our freedoms in that process.
Yeah, there's a whole nother powder keg that's brewing now too, Brad, and we don't really have time to get into it, but I find it very interesting because we're starting to now hear about all of the different ISP providers and others who are responsible for dissemination of internet content kicking right. off or disallowing certain voices to be heard, and that's going to cause a real firestorm as far as the issue of censorship is concerned. These are things we've been dealing with for hundreds, even thousands of years as a people, and it seems like we just continue to find new ways to magnify the ant on the sidewalk, if you will.
Yeah, and that's an issue we've already been hearing about in my offices, and it's kind of a tricky one because so much of that is federal in scope with the Federal Communications Commission and these basically international social media platforms. But yes, as we enter the new age of technology and how things have splintered off, even with how people get their news and information, it's definitely, there have been some very positive aspects to these opportunities. It's helped bring people together, but in other ways it pulls people apart, and there's some troubling aspects. So it's a brave new world on many fronts, both nationally and then in Olympia for the legislature. And, you know, I'm just trying to make my way through it as best I can, and I know a lot of other families are feeling the same way.
Yeah. Well, regardless of what your stance are on politics in general or which side of the aisle you lean towards, or no matter what you think of the current presidents, I think it's just, to me, it's just, it's astounding that any figurehead in that position could actually get bumped from his social media platforms from a way to deliver information to people. It's just, to me, that's about as unprecedented, I guess, in this case, as you could possibly imagine. So we are living in some very strange times indeed. 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins joining us today here on the Coho Morning Show. Brad, let's move on and talk about the pandemic because, again, everybody was anxious to get to 2021. It's here, but obviously the pandemic follows us into a year that provides more hope for us because we've already gone through it for a while, and also we've got the vaccinations that are beginning to happen. And as it relates to school district employees around the state, this is something that you're already weighing in on. Tell us about what your feelings are regarding to that. And also, I guess, explain to the people what the school districts are doing right now under the mandates for health from the governor at this time.
Yeah, well, you know, to take your second question first, the governor early on in the pandemic issued statewide proclamations and emergency orders related to the closing of schools. But now most of those decisions are left to the local 295 school districts in our state for the locally elected school boards and superintendents to work in close collaboration with the local health district and elected officials in the area. So most of the schools have this mix of in-person and online instruction now, and I think there is an effort to get more of the in-person, in-building instruction. The challenge that I see, though, and my disappointment, is that the governor and the Department of Health recently issued COVID vaccine guidance and timelines, which is something that a lot of the health practitioners at the regional level follow. And beginning in February, under phase 1-2B, the teachers and other school employees, bus drivers, administrators, support staff, if they're over the age of 50, they would be able to get vaccinated in February, beginning in February, because remember, there's two doses 3 weeks apart, and then it takes another week to be fully inoculated at the 95% protection level. But then there is a huge portion of the school employee population that would not be able to start getting a vaccine until at least April. And if that timeline slips, then those employees start getting their vaccinations in late April or May. And by the time they get their two doses 3 weeks apart, basically it's the end of the school year. And for me, it's not acceptable for the state of Washington to to hold back a lot of the school employees, such a huge number of school employees, from getting their vaccinations at the same time when local school districts are working with their healthcare officials to get more transition back to in-person instruction. So I led the way with a letter to the governor and the Department of Health, and it was signed by the two chairs of the Education Committee, the Democratic chair, Lisa Wellman, and the House Democratic chair, Representative Sharon Tamiko Santos. And then my seatmate, or my colleague who's the ranking member on the House Education Committee, Representative Alex Ybarra, also signed the letter too. So we sent a letter from Education Committee leadership to the governor and the Department of Health, and we copied the Superintendent of Public Instruction, and we shared it with educational stakeholders that we believe all school employees who want to get vaccinated should have the opportunity to do so in February in the state's 1B2 phase. Because for me, we're not going to get back to any sense of normalcy until our schools are fully functioning. And I believe it's appropriate that school employees, given their essential role in providing a key service to help us fulfill our paramount duty in our state, are prioritized alongside some of our older Washingtonians, because fortunately some of them can still isolate. The teachers will not be able to do that if they're in their buildings teaching potentially hundreds of students. So I think this is a huge priority for our state, and I sure hope the governor and the Secretary of Health will step up and allow all school employees to get vaccinated beginning in February.
Well, it's an issue that we'll follow, Brad, as the weeks continue. Also, I don't have time today, but we'll be looking at some of the bills that you will be or even already have introduced to the Senate. Let's really quickly talk about one, just because I know there's a hearing coming up on it. You told me tomorrow related to hydrogen here in the region.
Yeah, I've sponsored Senate Bill 5000. It's a bill to extend the same sales tax incentive that the state currently provides to battery electric vehicles, that same sales tax incentive to hydrogen-based fuel cell electric vehicles. Both vehicles are zero emissions vehicles, and I think if our state is going to truly promote reducing our emissions through the transportation sector, we should be technology neutral in our incentives. And with Douglas PUD, with the bill I approved 2 years ago, now getting ready to produce hydrogen locally using their surplus hydropower electricity, I think our region of North Central Washington is really uniquely positioned to deliver a solution on hydrogen. And maybe at some point, you know, next week we'll be able to talk more about it. But I got the bill introduced early in the session, and it's scheduled for the very first meeting of the Senate's Education or Environment, Energy, and Technology Committee. So it's scheduled for a hearing tomorrow morning. We have some local participants participating via Zoom, as well as Toyota and other auto manufacturers. So it'll be an exciting discussion. I'm looking forward to it.
And we're looking forward to finding out what comes of that, Brad, and also talking to you about some other things as we move through the first few weeks of the sessions. Again, 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins joining us on the Coho Morning Show around 7:30 every Tuesday during the sessions this year. Brad, I appreciate the time today. It's good to know that you're safe and sound here at home. Continued best, and we'll talk again next week.
Sounds great, Chris. Thanks so much.